Hey everybody, I am so excited to introduce one of my amazing friends and colleagues and an incredible practitioner who has a breadth of experience that covers so many subjects and who continues to inspire me in all that she does in giving back to the profession and the wider ecosystem of healing in general. And I'm honored that she's joining us today on the Naturopathic Teachers Podcast. Hi, Kira.
You make me feel so good and loved.
Thanks so much for being here today. It thrills me to be able to share them with a wider audience. How people get into the profession of naturopathy and where we're going with naturopathy, especially given we have such a principles-based profession. I think anything with timeless principles is something that's going to have longevity. But we often forget where we've come from. And so I would love to know how you got into naturopathy in the first place.
How I got into naturopathy?
As
most people know, I'm born and raised in California in the 70s. I grew up with scientific parents, but a lot of hippies around San Francisco in the 70s. So I did grow up with a lot of kind of nutrition and alternative things. But I did not know naturopathy existed. I originally went to university to do nutrition and sociology. Lord knows what I would have ended up as. But anyway, I ended up segueing from university and I lived in Europe and I had the unfortunate incident of being run over while I was a pedestrian by a motorbike at full speed, like 50 k's an hour, and cracked all my ribs on one side and just was very unwell. And then from all the medication I had to take while unwell, my immune system decided to go somewhere else. And I got really sick, kind of acutely, but sick. And I just wasn't getting better. I was very into nutrition and spirituality, but I still didn't know naturopathy existed. But I got sent to a naturopath. In Germany.
In Europe?
Yeah, I was in Europe. I was run over in Spain, but I then made it to Germany and this amazing German naturopath called Heilpraktiker in Germany gave me all kinds of stuff. And I can't even think about all the different things she gave me. But then she was like, you are sick enough. We need to send you to Austria and just do an overhaul. So I actually got sent to like a traditional naturopathic fasting clinic.
Like Kellogg style, the stuff that we learn about in the history of naturopathy.
Yeah, before Kellogg, this is like Buchner or Butcher Benner. This is their clinic kind of area. And so it was, you know, sits all the traditional stuff, all the water therapy, sits bad, taking sun. It was very specific juices and broths and herbal teas. And I did that for 3 weeks. Yeah, it was pretty hardcore and was completely like physically transformed. But I was like, this is it. I didn't even know this existed. I need to do this. It wasn't even a question. I think I had been trying to find that anyway. My sickness didn't actually last that long. It's not like, you know, a lot of people have those chronic illnesses and then they end up in naturopathy. I did it in a very acute way. I just fell in love with it and read everything I could about it. And then I moved to Australia, where it just happened to be one of the most amazing places to study it. So weird coincidences. And that's actually how I got here, was like hardcore Paavo Airola Buchner fasting style.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that you started your journey in a place like Germany that probably had similar apothecaries to what you have behind you.
Yes. That one is actually Dutch, but we'll pretend.
But it's a really similar kind of, like, it's full on historically kind of blended in. It's not some, oh, I came across it in a published article or that kind of way of doing things.
I remember realizing there were herbs to treat things. And I remember just being like, of course nature makes things to heal things. Why hadn't I processed through that before? I actually had that moment memory. I knew about food, but the herbs that was next level.
Yeah. Wow.
I think I knew about aloe vera from high school and that was about it. But yeah.
And mung beans in the 70s in San Francisco.
Yeah. My parents don't like beans, so I didn't have to do mung beans. But yes. Yeah. I knew a lot of woo-woo-y stuff, but I didn't know about naturopathy because very underground in the US at that point. So getting to Europe was amazing. And then Australia was such a random, but to end up there, and then they're like, oh, this is one of the three best places in the world to study it. And I still think Australia is so at the forefront in naturopathy in so many ways. The rest of the world probably doesn't know, but we know. And I love the style of how we do it and our education. And yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you have a global view on this, because often here when we're in this pocket of Australia and we think, oh no, I hear the conversation in the naturopathic community. Oh, we really want to be accepted by medicine, and we really want to be in the hospital system, or we really want to be whatever it is, or we really want to be legitimized in academia. The thing is, we kind of are. We're in this beautiful gray spot. I actually remember having this conversation with you a couple of weeks ago. We're in this beautiful gray zone that we don't appreciate until we can get a more global perspective, because there are states in the US where it is illegal to practice as a naturopathic physician. In Europe, similarly. And here we have this gray zone, as although we're not black and although we're not white, we live in this beautiful space that we're able to teach and share our wisdom and get a government qualified degree. Yeah. And we are really blessed in this situation.
We're very blessed. You know, we know we're not a doctorate of naturopathy, but we don't need to be. We're a bachelor of naturopathy, and then all that education we do after it, lecture at university, as I have done for 25 years. That's the beginning of the education, right? That's like, everyone says foundations. That's literally learning your alphabet and how to spell little three-letter words. You get out and then you learn the big words, and you can't do the big words first. I always try to tell my students that.
Yeah.
But we live in this. No, we're not a registered profession as of yet. And there's all the politics of it, which I'm going to avoid. But we have so much ability to basically do what we want. Our associations do look over us to make sure we're doing it safely. Sure. And this whole, we have to be accepted. We have to be accepted. Yeah, I get it. And we have become so much more evidence-based in the 30 years I've been practicing.
To the point where we are part of the integrative professions, you know, there are integrative clinics and there are all those.
And there are doctors that work with us and other practitioners and different modalities, different practitioners that never would have worked with us now work with us all the time. Like when people are worried about not being accepted, I'm like, you have no idea what it was like 30 years ago, or I know practitioners that are 40 years, they're like, it was even crazier. But as a practitioner, I also, it's a little bit naughty. Do I need further acceptance? Probably I'm far enough in my career. I don't feel like I do. But I just want to keep doing what I'm doing and helping people and being safe. So for me, I have enough. Yeah. I feel like we're accepted enough these days that I can work really well with these other people and practitioners, that we literally complement each other.
Yeah.
Complementary therapies. And I don't want to do everything a doctor does. I don't want to do everything whoever else does. I want to stay in my lane and do what I do well.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
Mm.
One of the reasons that I love what we do is because we are principles-based, as much as other health modalities might have the Hippocratic Oath or something else that is, you know. We have seven amazing principles. We have healing principles as well. We have timeless foundations on which we can then grow depending on, you know, what the modern environment gives us. But what is the naturopathic principle that you most align with?
Uh-huh. This was hard to pick one, because all of them, of course.
Yeah.
I have to start with the vitalism principle, you know, that core idea that we have that vitality within us. And when we're well, it's strong. And I love the idea, the energetic idea, that it's not just physical, it's mental, emotional, spiritual health. All of it has to be together. And in our push for evidence-based and accepted, that's almost taught historically now, rather than as a thing, because you're never going to be able to prove it. Could, but anyway, that's another
not
story.
Not yet. Quantum physics is on the verge.
Another story. But,
yes,
we are there.
Yeah.
But I think that that's the essence of who we are and how we should be working, because we know emotions affect physicality, and we know. Yeah, anyway, I want to go down there.
Exactly. So, if we really wanted to go for the psychoneuroimmunology version,
it's actually all there.
But really, it's vitalism.
Like, vitalism. We just worded it different.
Yeah.
And I love the gut-brain axis and everything, the microbiome, it's doing all that. We know it's actually all there. And I love that science is slowly just ticking off a lot of our beliefs in a more evidence-based way, but that we still have this energetic form to healing, right?
Definitely.
But probably the other big one, because I'm going to go for two, is healer is teacher. It's huge for me because I teach at university, I teach online, I teach globally. But the big teaching, and I love saying this to my students that are graduating in naturopathy and nutrition, your clients should come. And you should teach them enough that they don't need you.
Yeah.
They should go away, right? That's my favorite thing. You do your job well, they go away. And everyone's like, oh my God, but how, like, business. And I'm like, they will tell 20 other people to come see you. There is always enough. And my job is to empower somebody that they don't need me. They can call me back anytime. I was talking to another practitioner about December is this beautiful month, as we're coming into December soon, where all these long-term clients just get a hold of you. And it's more to tell you what their life is like over the last year. It's not even that much. We do a little health adjustment, but it's like, I love those check-ins.
Because
they don't really need you anymore. They're just telling you about their life, and I love it.
Or they're telling you about somebody that they've told the teaching that you taught them.
Yes.
So it's that aha moment that you gifted them. And they were so empowered and so inspired that it flowed over to teaching their family, their coworkers, their, you know, random person that they met in the supermarket.
So true. Or they then go, and I've now enrolled you as my official teacher. When a client becomes a practitioner, so beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah. So the teaching bit. I don't want to keep them needing me. I need to empower. The big word this week, teaching people how to advocate for their own health. That's the big thing this week. I don't think as a society we're taught that.
No, and we aren't taught that. And I love the medical profession. They serve a really good purpose for especially those acute situations. I would want to be in those situations, like, getting hit by a motorbike. But... Yeah. They don't have the opportunity. It's the system is not set up for them to spend time in teaching you. They're optimized for their 7 to 12 minutes. And so we get the gift of being able to sit there and explain pathology results, explain what's happening the gut and the mind or the emotions and how that's actually affecting that person's system. And that can really transform that therapeutic conversation. Based in education can really transform someone's life in the same way that pill could.
Yeah. And we have that time and space with the longer appointments. It's not like they couldn't do it, but that's not how the system is created. Yeah. And it's about, and the magic, again, I was telling this to students this week, 50% of it is them just actually sitting there for an hour talking about themselves and reflecting how they are and their health and their stress and we had this gorgeous lady this week say her stress was only 1 out of 10. And we were like, what? And it was actually because she had been through so much more stress previously. She felt like she wasn't allowed to rate her stress any higher now. And we were like, no, you're allowed to rate that high. Like letting, just people becoming aware of themselves through the conversation. We always say 50% of the healing is just keeping the patient busy why they listen to themselves, right?
Absolutely. And the answers are inside of them as much as we do these huge qualifications and we understand, the intensity of the mind, body, and spirit of a human being. We're there to reflect what's going on And then this person comes to their own healing, whether it's, you know, the vital element or it's their own aha moment. It's just this beautiful dynamic that we get to be a part of. It's such a, like you said, magic in what we do.
It is magic. Mm. It literally is magic on so many levels.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so I did mention the challenges that medicos here in Australia in particular are up against. What do you see is the biggest challenge for naturopathy here in Australia or globally?
Ooh, what is our biggest challenge? We have a lot. I think we have an identity crisis because part of us gets so medical, we almost go too far. But then people are like, but you're not a doctor. And we're like, we're never claiming to be. We just have a lot of information. So I think there's a bit of an identity crisis. But we're working on that. I also think in becoming with that identity crisis and with that desire to be accepted, we're forgetting some of our deep roots and connections to what naturopathy was really about. And so for me, is it our biggest problem? Probably not. But the one that hits my heart the hardest is learning how to hold evidence-based clinical practice as well as the traditional-based, which I can't always prove, but scientifically, but I know it works. And learning how it's okay to hold both of those things.
Yeah, I like that. And given that you have been in the profession for 30 years, you've been teaching for 25 of those, and you've seen some changes, when it comes to identity and your own identity, when you first started 30 years ago and someone said, hi, what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
Compared to now, what do you see from an identity? Yeah, right.
We are actually, I think we have this chat the other day while we're having coffee. Herbal tea. The majority of people kind of understand complementary medicine or naturopathy these days, or it's a familiar enough word that they pretend they know it, even if they don't understand it. Whereas 30 years ago, people were like, literally never heard of that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there is, we do take up more space than we used to in a great way.
And I think with the advent of social media and the conversations that people are having of, this supplement's worked for me this way of thinking has worked for me. Oh, I've been forest bathing and it actually really changed my life walking through nature. I got up and looked at the sun this morning. Like it can be the simplest lifestyle things to the other stuff. I think it's in the vernacular and the conversation enough that it is a $6.2 billion industry here.
Oh, my God.
Which was nothing back 30 years ago.
The internet, I'm going to really date myself. The internet and social media, the internet didn't exist when I hand wrote some of my uni assignments. Let's go back there. I did type most of them. There was no internet. Like getting exposure, getting yourself out there is so much easier. People do have to wade through all the noise and all the other, and what is a qualified person or not, but we're so much easier to find. And the fact that we can do online consultations now, we have such better reach and exposure. And people are learning. Mainstream people are learning our seven principles and all that, sometimes there's frustration that we don't get enough credit in the mainstream, because all these mainstream scientists are now get in the sun, drink water, you got to move, with these all principles of health, but there's some big naturopathic principles that we've gone on about long before me that are now like science is like, we just figured out you actually need to go back to the basics. And I'm like, my heart is happy that it's just out there in mainstream. My heart would be happier if natural medicine got a little bit more credit for actually holding this information when no one wanted to hold it.
Agreed. When we've been holding it and holding it through with open arms for a century and a half just, and then 2,000 years before that, and then It got remarketed as pure medicine.
But part of me is frustrated. And then part of me is like, you know what? it's really about people getting better. So it doesn't matter who gets the, I don't need that. I'm not saying for me to have the credit, but just we've held that all those sacred principles since, you know, Greek times, Egyptian, Middle Eastern, like the where the history of medicine and natural medicine, because it was one and the same until 400 years ago, is, you know, we know we're lineage connectors. Yeah. And that's actually, that's pretty special, even if we don't get overly credited for it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I love that, though. I love bringing that to our awareness and leaving it open so that, and holding it lightly, because that means more people can come in rather than us blocking them out.
And I think one of my bigger worries in the profession is that in becoming so evidence-based, we're almost letting go of that lineage. And yes, some of it isn't totally correct, but 75% of what we were doing is actually correct. And it's, I don't want to ever throw the baby out with the bathwater with that, right? Because there's so many basic principles that we all need to do. They're exhausting and they're hard work, but actually that's where health comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So we've talked about the past, we've talked about the challenges from now, but if we were to dream up a vision, wave the magic wand for what naturopathy could be in the future, your version of it, because I know that there is all sorts of versions depending on who I talk to, and they come from all sorts of different ways. And I think by talking about what possibilities there are for us as a profession moving forward, or naturopathy as a system moving forward and what it could be, we could make a beautiful weave and tartan or pattern that could actually create something that could be really profound and a big shift for the future. So what would your vision for the future of naturopathy look like?
Oh my gosh, I love that idea, the tartan or the weave. It would be that the strands of history and the principles and the energetics of healing don't get lost with how loud the evidence-based is. I love the evidence-based and the testing, and all, we need it, but we also need the subtleties and remembering we're this little animal on a planet with a bunch of other animals and nature, and I've gone really hippie there, but just the whole energetics of healing and that nature and the elements, and it all has impact on us. I just want to, yes, I would love to hold that. There's the hippie in me. I want the science and I want the sacred and a different ratios for different people, but I want to hold that sacred history of it. I want us to remember who we are as well as become the amazing practitioners we're going to be. I guess that's my thing. I'd need us to remember where our feet came from, because it wasn't wrong and it wasn't a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not either or, it's and.
Yeah.
I love that you're a bridge for the sacred and the science. I also love that you have all sorts of amazing educational tools to bridge the sacred and the science on your websites, and the links are around this podcast. And I am absolutely honored that you are a new member of faculty for the Naturopathic Futures Academy, where we can get an even deeper understanding of particularly the forgotten healing arts and where we've come from. So thank you so much for today, Kira.
Thank you for having me and having me to lecture. I'm so excited to be a part of that.
Awesome. All right. Love you, Lek, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Okay.